Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes here on the Radio Oklahoma Network at OklahomaFarmReport.com. Another Agricultural Perspectives today, and our guest, Oklahoma's 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas, who sits, of course, on the House Agriculture Committee as the ranking minority member, top Republican of that committee. He's a rancher from Roger Mills County, but he spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks talking health care with a lot of his colleagues, most certainly. Congressman, that big vote, of course, on Sunday, and it appeared that a lot of the suspense had been kind of let out by Sunday afternoon as Ms. Pelosi apparently had the votes.
Exactly, Ron. We rarely have Sunday sessions in the United States House of Representatives, so it was out of the ordinary that the Speaker would insist on pushing in Sunday. And even at mid-afternoon, in spite of all of the comments from the White House and the Speaker's office, they didn't have the votes. It only came in the afternoon when a gentleman from the state of Michigan by the name of Stupak, who'd been one of the most focused pro-life moderate Democrats in the House for my entire service here in the United States Congress, announced that not only would he vote for the Senate version of health care, but that with the president offering to sign an executive order saying the money couldn't be used for abortion, that he then turned around and as we tried to offer his language as the final amendment to the bill, he repudiated his own language, and that's what passed it. Just amazing. But this is a 2,700-page bill. They're following along behind it now in the Senate, supposedly 150 pages of reconciliation, a bill to try and clean up some of the more egregious problems in the Senate bill. But this will change one-sixth of how the American economy is handled. This will impose mandates. And for those folks who might misguidedly think they're going to get something for nothing, it may well take 4 years for all the provisions to be implemented.
Now, this particular measure, of course, your district, of course, and serving on the House Ag Committee as well, your district is mostly rural. What's your early thoughts on how this may positively or negatively impact the district?
Well, we need to remember that when ultimately both bills, if they do pass, this will be 2,800 pages plus of law. There will probably be 100,000 pages of regulations created to go with the nearly 3,000 pages of law. This is going to touch every individual and everything from the mandates requiring that we all have insurance or we pay fines, to the mandates on employers to provide insurance or pay fines, the shift in money within Medicare, the Medicare programs. And Medicare is very important in an older a district like the 3rd District of Oklahoma. But my hospital administrators and my doctors tell me that it will be very difficult to continue to have the kind of health care we have right now. Only time will tell. But the bill by the Speaker and the President's own estimate is almost $1 trillion. And that's a huge amount of money to spend in a year when by the third year of the President's administration, if his budget is approved, we'll have added $4 trillion to the national debt in 3 short years. That's a 40% increase in the national debt. So we have a long row ahead of us.
Now, you know, I know how long it's taken to obviously implement something like a farm bill. How long is it going to take to implement something as complicated as this piece of legislation?
Well, they admit that at least 2014, before many of the provisions can go into place, and you're talking about creating insurance exchanges, you're talking about forcing the states to change the standards for Medicaid. That's the program that provides health insurance to the folks who are in the more economically challenged part of the economy. The stress there for states is that it's a cost-share program. The federal government doesn't pay for all of it. The states have to, like Oklahoma, pick up a big chunk of this bill. So they'll have to make adjustments in their rules and regs and their revenue base. But I would say, Ron, it'll be 4 to 5 years. Now, ironically, some might say conveniently, the president will stand for re-election in 2012. So most of the really tough stuff in this bill won't happen until re-election day's come and gone for the White House.
Let's get beyond health care, if we could, Congressman. We've got over on the Senate side, even as we speak, Senator Lincoln holding a hearing, a markup session on reauthorization of childhood nutrition. And I guess one of the more controversial things, as far as a lot of folks out in the country are concerned, the fact that she is dipping into the pot of money from a conservation known as EQIP to pay for some of the things that she wants to do with childhood nutrition.
You know, Ron, I appreciate Senator Lincoln's efforts at trying to address the needs of childhood nutrition. It's a very important thing. We all agree on that. But taking money out of the EQIP program, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, which is, as our listeners are well aware of, that basic cost-share conservation program that meets the environmental needs of this country, EQIP is oversubscribed in virtually every part of the country. There's never been as much money as there have been demands for the program, and to strip money out of EQIP, which will make it more difficult for farmers and ranchers to meet many of the standards imposed on them by everyone from the EPA on down, is just unfortunate. Now, if the senator manages to get the bill across the floor, out of committee and across the floor in the Senate, and it comes to the House, I would think in the Ag Committee we'll work in a very diligent way to make sure that there's a different revenue base to fund this. We don't have any argument with meeting the nutritional needs of children in this country, but don't rob Peter to pay Paul. Don't take money out of something as important as the EQIP.
From what you've been able to piece together from an oversight point of view, I know that they've shoveled a lot of money at these nutritional programs and the 08 Farm Bill, and even since then, a lot of money from the stimulus bill and all this type of thing. Are they using all the nutritional money that's been pushed toward these programs at this point?
I can't say for sure that they have. We're still in the ongoing process in bookkeeping year 2010. But if you take the pie that we think of, the general public, I should say, thinks of as farm bill spending, you add in all the nutritional program, and when this bookkeeping year closes, 75% of every dollar that is spent towards farm bill-type programs will be the nutrition programs. 75%. And that leaves the other 25% to do rural development, conservation, the commodity titles, all of the other things. The public tends to think of a farm bill as the commodity title, and maybe conservation, and perhaps a little ag research thrown in. But in fact, it is a feeding bill now, and it has been pumped up dramatically by the administration in the stimulus and in all of the regular appropriation bills since Speaker Pelosi has been the speaker. This will be the fourth year of her Democratic majority. They've dramatically increased the spending on these programs in all 4 years. Now, we're all proponents of making sure that our fellow citizens have enough good calories to meet their needs. But we're strangling all of the other provisions of agriculture. And if you don't have a healthy, productive rural America to raise the crops, a processing industry to make those products ready for consumption, then I think the old phrase about eating your seed corn is absolutely appropriate.
Along those lines, Congressman, what will be your prediction? What are the odds of budget reconciliation and potential cuts to farm program spending next year?
At some point, the Obama administration and Speaker Pelosi are going to realize that having increased the national debt by $4 trillion in 3 years is unacceptable to the folks back home. And then they will scramble to come up with ways to reduce the national debt or slow the rate of growth of the national debt. I don't think they can touch the social welfare programs, the things that they have spent lavishly on now for 3.5 years, and that means they'll look at everything else. In agriculture, the commodity titles will be under the knife. The Obama administration, in their budget for this proposed coming year, actually advocated making cuts in the conservation programs in addition to the commodity titles. They advocated reducing crop insurance funds by $8 billion. I think that's the tip of the iceberg, and it's not just agriculture. They're canceling new weapons systems at the Department of Defense. They're proposing to cancel, in effect, the manned space program at NASA. They're going to reach out and tap many of these kind of areas. We may not all support each and every one of those areas, but I would tell you that they are critically important things for the security and the long-term safety of this country and our technological edge. So I'm very nervous about this year's appropriation cycle, whether it's the 12 regular bills or a recension bill, in effect, what a budget reconciliation bill is.
One of the area, Congressman, that has to do with regulations. This is something that I know you've looked at, and I'm not sure if there's going to be any oversight within the House Ag Committee or not, but EPA seems to want to get their hands on every aspect of agricultural production, whether it's livestock, whether it's crops. I know one of the more recent things they've talked about is the idea of a zero standard, zero tolerance standard when it comes to a spray drift over waterways. How do we push back on this?
Well, first of all, we have been engaged in a process of one-on-one between Ag Committee staffers and EPA staff, trying to get them to understand the magnitude of what they're proposing. You will now see, I think, at the committee level, things begin to ramp up there. You may well see us use the appropriations process to get their attention, but there's two real struggles going on here. Number one, for instance, with the things like the global warming tax bill, cap and trade, cap and tax, if Congress won't pass the president's bill, he clearly has instructed his political appointees at agencies like the EPA to use whatever mechanisms they can to do it by rule. If the elected representatives won't pass it, then use the rulemaking process to force it down people's throats. That's the first place. And in this zero drift standard, which any producer who's used these kind of resources, both in the livestock side, pasture and range management, or crop agriculture, know, that's an impossibility. You can't have zero drift. And if you force the chemical companies to write label directions that call for a zero drift language, then producers can't implement that. It almost appears as though EPA is trying to write rules and regulations that make it easier for them to enforce their rules than it is to create an environment where products are used in the safest possible fashion. And that's a very important distinction. The rules are supposed to enable us to use our technology in the safest possible way for the benefit of everyone, not to create an environment where it's easier for the rulemaker to enforce, to penalize consumers of the products. That's just backwards. And that's where they seem to be headed.
I guess what similar idea of trying to push the climate change regulations as well.
Oh, exactly. Right now with the speaker's rush of adrenaline on Sunday afternoon and the enthusiasm that the president's adopted for his own legislative ideas with the pass of their national health care, don't be surprised if cap and trade, as they call it, cap and tax, as I call it, now gets another mighty shove to bring it back to life. And it is still a bill, whether it's the House version that passed against my vote and the rest of the Oklahoma delegation's version, a vote, or what's being worked on in the Senate, it is still a bill that gives the federal government the ability to regulate what goes up both the horizontal and out the vertical exhaust pipes. It gives the federal government the ability to establish quotas by regions and industries and then decide who gets what quotas, who will pay for what, and in order to dramatically reduce emissions, run up the price by taxation of energy. That's electricity and that's gasoline and diesel, and force people to be able to consume less. This is as dramatic a grab for control of the American economy as was the quote, national health care bill.
Congressman Frank Lucas with us today. Ron Hayes with you here for the Oklahoma Farm Report.com.